Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Micah Adams, and today we're talking about the decentralization of spirituality and the seeming never-ending battle between corrupt government and the church. And this played out in both the Old and New Testament, but if we look at the book of Mark or the Gospel according to Mark, we see so many critical instances of Jesus Christ condemning corrupt government officials and corrupt church officials who really only serve the interests of the government. And because he dared to speak out against corruption in government and the church, they killed him. And you know the rest of the story. You know, he was resurrected, went on to teach, and his disciples and apostles went on to teach the word of God and so on. But this battle between corruption in government and church versus the genuine church, the Christ-like church, this battle continues to this day. And if you think about it, it's really a battle between centralized control under man's law versus decentralization under God's law. And one of the key teachings of Jesus Christ himself was that you, as a person of faith, as a Christian, as a child of God, you are not just saved by him, by Christ himself, but you can have a direct relationship with God, and you don't need to submit or bow down to the fictional man's law of a corrupt government regime or a corrupt church regime. What Jesus taught was, in essence, spiritual power to the people. It's the ultimate decentralization from a spiritual point of view. And this is why reading scripture and teaching scripture is so exciting, because as I've said, the Bible is so revolutionary. It's so anti-woke and so red-pilled that if it were published today, Amazon would ban the book. But it's not just Amazon that would ban the book. Governments would ban the book as well. And this is why also churches are under constant assault by governments. Specifically in the United States, they're under assault by the IRS. And the IRS has long threatened churches, said that, well, you can't maintain your status as a church if you engage in political speech. Well, this is a violation of God's truth. But this is what the IRS does to try to shut down the church. And these laws were put into place many decades ago in order to silence the church, because the church was becoming so powerful politically that the anti-Christian, anti-church members of the government, they did not want the church to have that power. So they neutered the churches with new IRS rules that said, if you engage in political speech, then we will take away your nonprofit status. And then donations to your church won't be able to be tax deductible. And this was effective. This neutered the churches. Since, was that the 1970s, 1960s? I'd have to find the exact date of that act that was put in place. But it was devastating to the free speech of the church. And since then many of the more mainstream churches have become under the control of government, which is man's law. And remember that man's law is usually crooked. Man's law is null and void in the presence of God's law, which is rooted in, you know, natural law, the reality of the universe created by the mind of God. He created his laws, but then mankind comes along and says, no, we could just write our own laws, and we can make laws against people telling the truth. We can make laws that say it's okay to mutilate the genitalia of children, for example. We'll just call it gender-affirming surgery. We can make laws that outlaw people teaching the word of God, and that's what they've done in Canada. They've done that in the UK, they've done that across Europe. But man's law is not real law, and it is not rooted in wisdom. As Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, says in chapter 8, verse 8, how can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen and the scribe certainly works falsehood. So he's saying the laws of man, written by men, they falsely claim to be backed by God, but they are not. The pen of the scribe works falsehood. They are writing up false laws and false doctrines. And then in verse 9, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Right? If you can't embrace the word of the Lord, how can you claim to be wise? If you are advocating the genital mutilation of children, or telling little boys that actually you're a little girl, we just need to fix your body with scalpels, then you have no wisdom. In fact, I would say you are infested with evil and demonism. But if we jump to verse 12, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush, right? And this is what we see today, that the evil people are so evil, they don't even know what shame is. They brag about their abortions. They celebrate the mass murder of unborn babies. And continuing, therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. God's judgment will come upon you. You will be subject to God's laws, not man's laws. Man's laws will crumble away. Verse 13, I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. What is he saying? That all abundance, and here he's using food and fruit and natural resources granted by Mother Nature and Earth, but all these things that I, the Lord, have given you shall be taken away from you when you violate God's law. In other words, you can write all your own laws all day long. Go ahead, pick up the pen, be a false scribe, falsely claim to be a representative of the Lord, but it doesn't make it true. And when the Lord judges you, he shall tear down your false laws, and he shall tear down societies that are based in false law. And this is what is coming for our society today. Because whether you're talking about the United States or the UK or Canada or Australia or any of these Western countries, they are rooted in false law authored by sinister, wicked men who claim to be the authority over you and your life, and they claim to be authorities over the church, but they are not. They do not have the authority of God, as was blessed to the body of Christ through God's spiritual blessing, the endowment of spiritual authority in the body of Jesus Christ himself after he was baptized. That blessing, that granting of authority and power was never given by God to any government, and never would it be, because governments operate largely out of evil. At the highest levels of the government of the United States, the government's run by Satanists. Now, I don't mean this to apply to every person who works at lower levels. I'm not talking about every police officer that works for the state or the county or the city. I'm not talking about every DMV worker or every, you know, statistician that works for the Census Bureau, things like that. I'm not talking about every person at the USDA, but I'm saying at the highest levels of government, it's all run by Satanists who seek to conquer and destroy humanity. And anyone who is subservient to government is bowing down to Satan, because government does not have your humanitarian interests at heart. Government does not want you to be empowered. Government wants to take power from you and consolidate it in their own corrupt, evil hands so that they can weaponize their reach, their power, their regulations against more of you to further enslave you and to achieve their satanic agenda. And this is why right now in our government, we have people that are talking about putting Christians into concentration camps or re-education camps. We have top leaders in our government, I'm not going to name them, but you can probably guess, who are saying that they want to issue price controls for food so that the government sets the prices for food, not free market dynamics. So that farmers have to bow down to governments, and they are told, the farmers, what they are allowed to charge for food. And the wholesalers are controlled, and the retailers are controlled, so that there are no free market principles at play. There's no response to increased demand, and you would end up with scarcity and famine. And so if you think about it, the very things that God unleashed against, for example, the Pharaoh in the Old Testament, the way that he punished leaders that were enslaving his people, the ancient Israelites, well, he would unleash famine and pestilence and plagues and war. Well, today, that's what the government does against us. The government unleashes those very same things, famine, engineered pestilence, engineered disease, engineered war, and, you know, mass death, and of course, economic destruction. Let's cover all the four horsemen of the apocalypse here. Economic destruction is part of this algorithm, and it's all designed as weapons against humanity. The church stands against those weapons against humanity. The church stands in faith and courage with the armor of God, with the armor of truth and faith. And any church that does not stand with the people against tyranny is not a legitimate church. I say they're not legitimate because they have abandoned the very teachings of Christ. If Christ were living today, I have no doubt that he would be visiting churches and saying things like, why do you bow down to a tyrannical government regime? Why do you limit your speech? Why are you afraid to tell the truth in a time of great deception across society? Why do you subject yourself to the whims of those who answer to the devil? Why? He says, if you are not going to preach the word of God with authenticity, with righteousness and courage, then you are not qualified to represent me, Jesus Christ, is what I believe he would say. Now, of course, it's always risky to try to put words into the mouth of Jesus Christ, so take it with a grain of salt. I'm just saying that based on what Mark wrote about Jesus and what Peter said about Jesus, and throughout all of the New Testament, example after example, if you look at the teachings of Christ, it's very clear. It's very clear. I don't think there's any debate about this, that Christ would have said, reject tyranny, reject corruption, practice faith, and deepen your direct relationship with him, Christ, and with God. And you don't need a government edict in order to do that. And man's laws are more often than not corrupt. And the point of government is to take from you. I mean, this is directly mentioned in several places in the New Testament, that government is here to take from you. I mean, think about the stories of the tax collectors. Jesus was no friend of the tax collectors, right? Because they were here in corruption to take from the people and to suppress the people. And if you look at where we are in society today, with some people advocating, some people in government saying they need higher and higher taxes, well, what is that all about? It's about taking more money from the productive farmers or the productive workers or the people who are actually producing something in society. It's about suppression of those people to keep them down so that they are unable to obtain any kind of financial independence, or unable to have the ability to feed their own families, or unable to donate more money to their church or to nonprofits because they don't have discretionary income, because it's all taken up, either confiscated by the government or taken up with food inflation or other costs of living that can't be avoided. I believe, and I think most pastors would agree with me, that Jesus would have been outraged at the way government treats the American people today. And importantly, this continues under every political party, under every administration. There is really no exception to this that I'm aware of. It's just persistent, punishing, punitive suppression of the people as government grows larger and larger. Now, importantly, churches do not pay federal income taxes. As a result, one of the ways that you can help direct more funds to your local community is to donate to your local church. Now, of course, conduct due diligence. Make sure that your local church is doing God's work, that it is supporting your local community. None of us want to hand over money to some church or church group that is rooted in greed and arrogance and luxury. Oh, I need money for my private jet. Nah, I don't think so. If you donate money to a church, make sure the church is doing good things, giving back to people, helping those in need, giving to the local community, responding in times of need following natural disasters or what have you. The church needs to act in a way that is congruent with generosity and the teachings of Christ, for God's sake, I dare add. Otherwise, what are you doing? Now, if you think about it, every dollar that you donate to the church is one less dollar that you might send to Washington, D.C. for the satanic government to weaponize against you. So this is an area where you have a choice. You can direct funds to the church and thereby deny Washington, D.C. control over those funds. And as much as the government would love to tax the donations to churches, there's too much pushback against that. And there is, of course, the founding fathers, the principles of the separation of church and state, which is a beautiful thing. And it means that the federal government cannot define what is a church. They cannot limit the expression of religion to only certain approved doctrines or approved religious practices. And although most people in America, probably those who are people of faith, they would tend to practice some version of Christianity or Catholicism or Judaism, the government also cannot take away the tax-exempt status from mosques or those who practice Islam or Sikhism or Buddhism or other forms of religion. And that is a good thing. We don't want the government to be able to restrict churches and to issue permits to approved churches. Because if we did that, then every church would be under the boot of the corrupt government regime, and they would not allow teachings that they don't approve of. They wouldn't allow the teaching of, well, the book of Jeremiah that we're quoting from today. Absolutely not. They would not allow half the New Testament. They would not allow the book of Revelation, that's for sure. And they would probably selectively edit and delete portions out of Mark. You know, the parts that talk about Christ reacting against corrupt government, or even the government and church leaders plotting to kill Christ. I mean, you would have a highly edited version of the Bible that was approved by government, and it would be nothing but lies. So we should feel blessed that there is separation of church and state. And I encourage you to take advantage of that situation. Give money to your local church, and more importantly, be part of how your church uses that money in a positive way to support your local community. That is one of the ways that we take back our societies. We take it back from the federal government and all the corruption and evil and waste. And we put money directly into local organizations that are doing the work on the streets, face to face, with the people who need it. And by doing that, we strengthen our communities and we take away power from the beast system that sits in Washington, D.C. And I'm quite sure that Jesus himself would approve of supporting local communities and local churches if they are authentic. So thank you for listening today. I'm Mike Adams, and we have much more for you at the same place that you found this sermon. God bless you all. Take care.